Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are two teachings in today's gospel. First, Jesus teaches that the foundation of God's law is love. And second, he teaches that he is both the Son of God and the Son of David. To begin, a lawyer asked Jesus, which is the great commandment in the law? He answers not by giving this command or giving that one, but with a summary of the law, with love. Because love is at the root of every commandment that God gives. It is the why for everything. And in some ways, it's obvious. Why should you help your neighbor in need? Well, because of love. You're to love your neighbor. But love is the why not only for helping your neighbor in need, but for everything. Why should you have no other gods? Love. Why should you not commit adultery? Why should you warn sinners of death and damnation? Why should you hear God's word and attend Holy Communion? Love. With one answer, Jesus covers the foundation and the motivation of all commandments of the whole law of God. And love is a way of life. Christianity was first called the way because it called one's entire life to be dedicated to God. And the dedication has in view not just this life, but also the next. The life dedicated to loving God is dedicated also to loving your neighbor in both body and soul, both temporally and eternally. And that's what the Christian is called to do. Loving God and loving neighbor. Jesus lists these two commandments together. And that's because they are together. You can have no idea how to love your neighbor if you don't love God's commands. Without some form of knowledge, some bedrock understanding of something, you don't know what is good for your neighbor and what is bad for him. You don't know what will help him or what will hurt him. So how could you love him or act on that love without knowing what is good? And the current debate over a COVID vaccination is a good example of truth and love and how these are linked together. Is it loving to urge your neighbor to get vaccinated? Or is it loving to urge them not to get vaccinated? Let's take both sides. Well, that all depends, doesn't it, on whether the vaccine is safe and whether it works or not. Now, you can say, and you can say, people who think it's not safe are just ignorant. You can say people who think it is safe, they're just gullible. But on those grounds, you can't say either are being unloving, which is what's happening. No one is saying the vaccine is safe and it works, but you shouldn't get it. That would be unloving. On the other side, no one is saying, yeah, the vaccine's deadly, but you need to get it anyway. Nobody. That would be sadistic. The vaccine debate is not a disagreement about loving your neighbor. It's a disagreement about what actually is best for him. So, for our example, it's a disagreement about what is the truth. And it doesn't matter how much research you've done, we are warned not to teach as holy doctrines the secular deductions of man. There's a lot of preaching going on in the days of COVID, and that's okay. But we need to keep perspective as the church. We can be more or less certain about things in this life. Viruses, wars, hazards, etc. and how best to address them. But think of it this way. Anyone who is as certain about what to think about a vaccine as they are about what to think about the cross of Christ must have a very weak faith. Anyone who is as certain about a vaccine as they are about Christ must not have that strong a belief. Zeal is good, Scripture says, so long as the purpose is good. So if you are a Christian, and if you're going to bind people's consciences, if you're confident enough to judge people as good or bad based on their status of vaccine or mask wearing, then you need to be even more confident and zealous in preaching the gospel also. It's a very serious thing to lead someone to believe they're under God's condemnation. To do so irresponsibly is about the most unloving thing you can do. So, as advice for the church, I say, when you feel compelled to do so, make sure it's something that God really has spoken about, and that it's Him making the condemnation, not you. We should be careful not to bind someone's conscience to any knowledge that comes from man. And yet we do need to bind consciences. With that in mind, remember that only God's word is infallible. But we are to bind consciences. After all, what does Jesus say? He says, "Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." If the church is not doing that, it is defunct. But only God's word is infallible. I can't say for certain a vaccine is harmful, but what can I say for certain? That idolatry is deadly. I can't say for certain whether masking is helpful, but I can say that perversion and immorality are harmful to the soul. I can't say for certain that isolating will save you, O ye of little faith, but I can say that Christ will save you if only you believe. As Christians, we will get and should get involved in the controversies of the day. We should inform opinions. We should encourage others as best we can determine is for their good, but with humility always, knowing that when God hasn't directly told us something, we should temper our assertions. But as Christians, we are Pharisees and hypocrites if we are more certain about what a vaccine does to our neighbor than we are about what adultery does to him, or abortion, or idolatry. If you love your neighbor enough to evangelize for a vaccine, or against it, but not for the gospel, or to preach against a vaccine, but not against unbelief, what kind of love is that? The only sure way to love your neighbor is to help him love God and to seek Christ. There's no reward in heaven for the one who saves his neighbor's body in this life while neglecting his soul in the life to come. And that life is saved only in the Christ. After Jesus answers the lawyer's question, he moves on to ask a question of his own. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Now, Peter had already confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that is right. On the other hand, the Pharisees answer by saying that the Christ is the son of David, the son of an ancestral man. They're not wrong either. But the whole picture requires both confessions. Jesus Christ is both. He is true God, begotten of his Father from eternity, and he is also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. He is both David's son and David's Lord. And this is why Jesus teaches with authority. This is why he can go forth and bind consciences. This is why this young 30-something rabbi can presume to teach his elders. Because he has no elders. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Before Abraham was, he is. He is the Word of God who was with God and was God in the beginning. In him is forgiveness and life, and only through his word can you truly love your neighbor and do what is right for him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.